Hey everyone, it's Roxy. Just really quickly, I wanted to let you know that on the 30th of April, we are running a free masterclass for you. It's called Booking Geniuses. And on the masterclass, we are going to be teaching you the three things that you need to be doing in your business in order to get those bookings coming in thick and fast. If this sounds like something that you want to be a part of, you can head over to the link which will be in the show notes of this episode, and that's how you can register. So we hope to see you all there, but until then, enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Wed Pro Podcast, the podcast for wed pros no matter their stage. We are your hosts, Katie and Roxy, and this is the Wed Pro Podcast. Hey, 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 welcome back to this episode of the Wed Pro Podcast. Today you have got me, Roxy, but I am not alone. I am joined by an amazing guest and I'm really excited to pick his brains. I've been wanting to do this for a while. So welcome Damian Bailey, who is the co-founder of the Wedding Industry Awards. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me, Roxy.
No problem at all. Could not wait for this podcast. Really, really excited.
I'll try not to disappoint.
Oh, you won't. You won't. So first, just tell everyone, tell me a bit of a backstory about yourself. Where did it all begin for you in this industry?
So I'm a wedding photographer. I started in 2003. So I've been doing it over 20 years now. Shot just shy of 1,000 weddings. And back in 2007, I entered and won Wedding Photographer of the Year, entered an awards and won Wedding Photographer of the Year. And business just took off. It was incredibly valuable experience, gave me the confidence gave me the confidence to put my prices up in the first instance, and also made me feel like, okay, I'm doing something right here. So it was incredibly powerful for me in all sorts of ways. And I never really looked back. And those awards disappeared a couple of years later because they were promoting another product, and like quite a lot of awards do. And I said to my wife, Anna, who's also, we're both from an event management background before I was a photographer. I said, that was amazing. There should be an awards in the wedding industry that is done for the right reasons and in the right way. And that's always been the core of our ethos, really. So rather naively, we went, how hard can that be? But 12 years later, here we are. We launched it in 2011. Well, it's 13 years, really. And that central tenet has been there ever since, to do the awards in the right way and for the right reasons. And that is basically to help recognize and reward excellent wedding suppliers and help couples find the best suppliers for their wedding. And we'd be really proud to still be doing that and have to have done that all the way through. I still shoot weddings, and not as many as I used to,
shoot
maybe 15 to 20 a year.
Okay.
So all in all, I'm a busy wedding business owner, just like you guys and I would imagine most of the people listening.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you touched on there about doing awards for the right reasons. I know awards in general in this industry, they get a bad rap, don't they? Like, What is it about your awards then that makes you different?
Oh, gosh, where to start? Well, I think primarily the first thing is they're client voted. Awards that are voted for by anyone as many times as they would like to vote are basically pointless. It's a popularity contest rather than anything remotely in depth about how good someone is at what they do and what they offer. So by making it client voted, which TWIR is, each year only the most recent year's worth of couples can vote for the people who've entered, and it makes it based on user experience, which has value therefore for the people who are entering, the business owners, but also for couples who are looking to the Wedding Industry Awards as a kite mark of the highest standards when they're looking to book their wedding supplier. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing is that we have a judging panel, separate judging panel for each category, which you won't find anywhere else. More than 140 judges now on our panel, with a panel of you know, usually half a dozen-ish, maybe more, judges with specific expertise in that category, rather than a group of 12 people who happen to work for the business who run the awards, who judge everything and don't necessarily know what they're looking at or talking about. So those are the two main things. We also, the third thing I would mention actually is that we are fully aware, we understand, of course I understand, I'm a business owner, as I said, just like you guys. I understand that the wedding industry works on a regional basis for the vast majority of wedding businesses. So we operate on a regional basis as well as a national basis. So that two-tier function for us is really important. And one of the best things about TWIR is that every November we get to go out, drive around the country, putting on our regional awards events in November, and getting to meet everybody to put that community together. Because, you know, running a wedding business can be isolating. It can be isolated. You're sitting there on your own. And I'm sure mm-hmm. you've heard that 100 times, thousands
exactly
of times.
Exactly why we started our business. Yeah.
And it's tough. But when you get together in a room and you're able to, in a safe space, talk about work and talk about the ins and the outs and, you know, have a whinge and a moan like we all like to do every now and then, plus celebrate and support each other, which is central to certainly to what we do. That's great. So those are the three things. Client voted, really rigorous process with a great judging panel, and the regional awards aspect to what we do.
I love the regional aspect. Where our business started, we put on regional networking events because we know how important it is to have that group of people around you in your area that you can celebrate with, that you can, you know, go to when things aren't going so well. Literally the foundations of our business. So
yeah, totally, and also totally even just to, you know, even within categories, we see it. You would expect that the community would exist without, let's say, as a photographer, without lots of photographers talking about business. But actually, there's plenty of work to go around. You all need to be able to recommend another person, another business you trust and know, so that it doesn't come back to you. And sharing is so much more valuable than being closed and being sort of uber competitive. So we're really proud of that aspect of the awards. But you're right, just having someone there that you can go, how do you do this? And what do you do with that? And it's really useful. Otherwise, you could get stuck in a hole for years.
Oh, you know, just to be able to have those people to be able to ask questions to. So yeah, you're not at that sticking point. So I wrote a couple of things down there when you were kind of speaking. So you were saying that, you know, obviously couples look towards the awards as kind of like a signpost that, okay, this is legit amazing business. So what can business owners do out there in this industry, you know, to get your awards? Like, what are the judges looking for?
Well, that's a good question. And I get asked it quite a lot, obviously, because people are looking for that inside line and that little tidbit of a little top tip to help them get on that stage to get an award. That in truth, the answer is we don't put any criteria on the judges. We give them free rein. I think it's really important. If we gave them a list of 10 things that they're scoring everybody on, that limits the judges. They may want to look at different aspects of things that aren't on that list of criteria. So what I would say, and there's a long, pretty boring, dry blog post on our website of top tips on how to create an eye-catching entry. But it can be as simple as correct spelling and grammar, because if the judges are looking at dozens and dozens of entries, they'll very quickly learn what they do and don't like. And where it looks like it's been carelessly written, that might make a negative impact on a judge. Great photography. There's no excuse these days for inferior photography. This little gizmo you have in your pocket, your telephone, is great. You just need to learn to use it properly. And there's all sorts of online tutorials to help you. So poor photography is a no-no. I think we ask profile questions, category-specific profile questions. So when you're you've entered the awards and you're a cake maker, there's some specific questions there about the business of making wedding cakes, and fill those in carefully, complete them carefully. You have months to do it and don't have to submit anything right up until the end of September. So take care over that. And I think also show us who you are. Wedding suppliers, wedding couples book people. They'll like your service, they'll like your product, but they'll want to like you more than anything else. So show that to the judging panel. Be brave, get in front of your camera, record a little video, explain who you are, what you do, you came to do it. Show them, if you're a bridal shop, show them around your shop. If you're a florist, show them where you make these flower, beautiful bouquets and table centers, etc. Give the judging panel a reason to love you like your couples do, and you won't go far wrong. It's super competitive. Every year, the standard gets higher and higher, which is a great indicator for the industry, health of the industry as a whole, especially post-COVID. So it's not an easy thing to win. So they are coveted. People want to win them because they're meaningful and rigorous process behind them.
So when you were saying there about, you know, filling out the form and, you know, being true to yourself, does the fact that AI exists now, like, could that have a negative impact if you were using that? Like, would you say, like, steer away from that and just speak from the heart?
I think, to be honest, I wouldn't blame people for using it, particularly if you struggle to write like that, to be off of that creative writing. But I think AI can still sound pretty wooden. I would say avoid it. I don't blame you if you want to try and use it, but try and avoid it and maybe get someone else to write it for you. If you're trying to describe your own business, that's sometimes quite a difficult thing to do. But if someone else knows you well and knows your business well, maybe ask them. What do you think? How would you answer this question? And then that might give you a nice starting place. So I think asking for that sort of advice rather than going to AI is probably the best bet. I mean, those questions, people can, if you enter in February and you haven't got to submit it till September, you can mull over those questions till for months and months and months, which is either it's a good thing for some people and a bad thing for others. But taking that time and care is key. We get a lot of feedback from judges who can't, well, some people don't even fill in those questions. They just don't do it. And that's not going to look too good when you're being judged against others who have.
No. So what do the judges look at? So are they looking at digital footprint? Like what's this process about?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's the entry submission within our website. So they're allowed, entrants can upload photographs, videos. They answer these profile questions as well. And there's up to a dozen of those category specific. And then there are also links to websites, social media that we make available to the judging panel in our online judging area. So the judging's all done remotely. With that many judges, you're never going to get everyone in the same room. And actually, we think doing it remotely is better because it means one judge can't hold sway over any of the others. It's done completely independently. But they're looking at all aspects. I know some judges who go on to Companies House to check that the finalists are bona fide businesses with a decent track record in that regard as well. And they'll look at all aspects. Again, going back to the fact we don't place any specific criteria on our judges, they are free to look at whatever they like. If you're a photographer, they're going to look at your photos. If you're a videographer, they're going to look closely at your videos. And it doesn't matter how many weddings you've done. They're going to look at your voter scores and comments as well. Obviously, I should have said that at the beginning. That's key, paramount. But we really pride ourselves on the fact that our process is designed for wedding businesses of all shapes and sizes. We know that a wedding planner will do, you know, some will do half a dozen events a year. Some will do 15. There's all sorts of reasons why suppliers do a different number of weddings each year. So we use the average voter score, which negates that total number of votes. It's not a most votes wins awards, because again, that's to prejudge. Just because someone does more weddings doesn't mean they're better. So the panel really do have their work cut out for them. They complain to me in the nicest possible way that it's too hard, or this it's too hard to decide, and there's so much information. But we want to make sure that it's as rigorous as possible. And I know for a fact that those judges work really hard. They take it really seriously, because a lot of them have been on the other side of the fence and know how important it was to them when they entered.
And just out of interest, just because I'm nosy, like, do they have like a set like amount of time that they have to like judge in? How does that work?
Yeah, so we have a time frame. This year, voting will close on the 30th of September. And then we usually try to announce the finalists in the first couple of weeks of October. So that bit of the judging is done pretty quickly. A good chunk of that is decided by some maths. We work out the average score of each entrant, compare it to the average score in the category. Anyone who is above that average goes through as a finalist, and anyone who is below that average gets looked at by the panel, and the panel can assign a certain number of wild cards. That's to make sure that everybody who enters is looked at by the judging panel. Once those finalists are announced, the judges get cracking again to decide on the winner. And this is usually done in the second 2 weeks of October, maybe into the first week of November as well. Each judge then in each category has to select their gold, silver, bronze, their top three, yep. Each given a different number of points. The one with the most points is the winner. And if it's very close, we might well have a highly commended. I've just rattled all that off. There is every single little detail on how we run our awards is on the website. And I know it's boring and dry to read. It's not very sexy, but it's really important. So if anyone has any queries, check out the website. And if you still have any queries after that, just drop us a line and it'll be me usually that answers it.
Yeah, I'll pop the link to that in our show notes so you guys
can
access it really, really easy. So obviously you know, started this business from nothing. Like, how has that journey been? Because you've got an incredible, you know, these awards are huge now. Everybody knows of your awards. So how's that journey been for you both, you and your wife? Because it's amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's nice of you to say. And actually, you'll be the same, and so will so many of you guys listening, that you don't give yourself enough chance to stop and look at what you've achieved.
Yes.
Over months and years, and just to go, God, wow, look at that. We set out to do this, we think, in the right way, as I say, for the right reasons. and we've done it, and it's really satisfying. But we don't give ourselves enough time to sort of acknowledge
You
that,
should.
which you should do. It's not about bigging yourself up. It's not being complacent. It's about acknowledging the progress you've made, because only by doing so can you then continue to improve, I think. But no, it's been a long, slow road. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, because this was always the big sticking point when we first started, and it's the entry fee. I don't understand why people think it should be free to enter the awards. We don't get so much now because people understand it, but we used to get loads of kickback saying, you know, you shouldn't have to pay to win an award. Well, you're not. If that was the case, everyone who paid to enter would get an award, and they don't. You know, we offer a service to both wedding businesses and to brides and grooms, to couples. We can't offer that service for free, just like you can't offer what you do for free. None of the businesses can do what they do for free. So for me, that's a fairly simple argument, if that's the right word. But it was a sticking point to begin with. And it took us a while. And because we only have one, it's an annual cycle, we have one chance a year to sort of get this right.
Yeah.
It took us a few years to show people that there were benefits to entering our awards way superior to entering other awards, such, you know, free ones or ones where your granny can vote 12 times and if you get the most votes, you win. So, and I think people understand the benefits of entering now. We're really there to enhance people's marketing, to help them grow their business or grow their self-confidence or grow themselves in any way that they want. All sorts of reasons people enter. That was tricky to get past that. And actually this year we're expanding to fully include Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales. For the first time, where they have their own awards.
You guys have a busy few months, don't you, when you go around?
Yeah, November's crazy. We'll go from 8 events to 11 events in November, if it works. And we're having the exact same discussions, in inverted commas, with people in those countries, because they'll often look at it and go, well, it's an awards. It should be free to enter. And that just can't be the case. It's a full-time job pretty much for two, three people, and a part-time job come the busy times for another three or four. So just impossible. Other than that, working with your other half can be an interesting experience, as Anna will attest as well. But we're a really good team. We work well together. We have very clearly defined roles and jobs, as I'm sure you do. And again, others listening will have the same issues. But we're really proud of what we do and what we've done, and we'll continue to do it. We feel really passionately about the wedding industry. I mean, during COVID, it was tough for everybody. But we kept going with the awards. We did them virtually, which we're really proud of, because everyone else sort of stopped doing them or disappeared.
Oh, were they well received online?
It was really good. We decided to do it slightly differently. Rather than do it live on social media, where you lose all the video, so the production values,
yes.
We decided to pre-record it and put it out on YouTube Premiere, so that people could watch it on their big smart TVs in their lounges. So everyone got all dressed up. We had live social media interaction, but the actual awards themselves were pre-recorded. So I'm there in a gorgeous wedding venue with proper, you know, 4K HD lighting. I'm in my dinner jacket. Like, it's a proper thing.
Oh, suave.
And everyone else, we said to it, we gave best dressed awards. So everybody got dressed up. They were able to watch with their kids. So it was so much better than I thought it would be. Watching it ourselves with our kids was kind of weird, watching myself on the telly. But we got some lovely feedback. And I think it was a real beacon for people who were worried about their businesses at that time, and we carried on doing it. It was well received. People loved it, loved sharing it with their families, and I'm really proud of the fact we carried on, because it would have been easy just to sort of bury yourself and go, oh God, I can't face it. And at times we definitely felt that, I'm pleased we carried on. It was fun. Yeah,
I know, but you should be like incredibly proud of what you have built, because it is amazing. And I really relate to what you're saying about, you know, we never stop and just go, look at what we've done, look at what I've done. And that goes without saying as well to wedding business owners that win these awards, because the amount of clients that we work with that have won these awards, and they are not shouting about them. That's not the right thing, is it?
You're so right. It, what's the point in entering if you don't shout about the journey? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the journey in inverted commas, but it's a word everyone will understand. If you have to put your hand up, there's no point. Everyone's shouting for business in this busy, highly competitive industry.
Yes.
You have to put your hand up. So by entering something like TWIA, and that's what we call it, by the way, it just saves about half an hour a day saying the Wedding Industry Awards.
Our business, when we started, was called the Wedding Industry Supply Network, and we used to shorten it to TWISN. In the end, because that is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Even when we were we would be on calls and people would say, oh, can we take your email? I'd be like, okay,
well, yeah, breathe, one deep breath. No, we have exactly the same. So we call it TWIR. If you enter, you're already differentiating yourself from other suppliers who don't. It takes courage. It takes, it's brave. And your prospective clients will see that as a really positive sign that you back yourself. Without being cocky or arrogant, no one expects to win. It's about, I'm brave enough to put myself out there. And then take your client. I mean, what a great way of creating content for your social media. You know, everyone's clamoring for something interesting, a narrative for their social media, and entering an awards and taking people through that process with you is a great way of doing it. Okay, if you don't win, you've got to try and then work out how you're going to communicate that in a positive way. And there are definitely ways of doing that. And if you do win, well, you need to be shouting about that from the rooftops, because very few people win, obviously. So yeah, it is something that needs to be, I think, as English, perhaps as a British people, English, British, we're perhaps not very good at putting our hand up and shouting about ourselves. I don't go on our social media personally and bang on about how great TWIR is to everybody, because it feels that I feel a bit self-conscious, and I could probably do a bit more of that. But yeah, we try to equip people with the tools they need to use TWIR to enhance their marketing, to grow their businesses in however way, whichever way they want to. And we're continually trying to help with that. So for instance, this year we will be providing a press release template for all winners and highly commended.
Yes.
So that they can literally, you know, the next day they'll get that with their logo, with their photos from the event, and they can send it to local press and start maximizing.
Because that does work. When we were in the bridal shop, if we had anything going on, we would literally contact press. I would literally send like mass emails out. We would get on the news, get in the paper, get on the radio.
They're desperate for content too.
Yeah.
And if you feed it to them with a spoon, they will come looking. And then if you do a good job for them and give them the content that they need, they'll come back every time you message them. I mean, so we're trying to help. We understand that some people, you know, aren't necessarily the most commercially minded, but we can help them in small ways to sort of maximize their exposure from TWIR.
So lots of our listeners and viewers, because this will go out on YouTube as well, hello everyone, they are newer businesses. So if you're a newer business listening to this, like, what's your top tips to, you know, if it might be the first time applying for awards and, you know, you might not feel so confident?
Yeah. I think we first of all, we have a newcomer category. It's free and you're automatically entered into that category once you've entered your main category, and it's based on your business start date. So for this year, any businesses that was established after the 1st of October 2022 will be in the newcomer category. So it's a catch-all. You'll be in there with other new businesses from the other categories as well. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing I would say. I would also say, if you have couples since the 1st of October, 2nd of October last year, then you can enter, because they will be the ones voting for you. So that's the first thing. And remember, it's not a most votes win. So just because you've only done 5 weddings and one of your competitors has done 20 doesn't mean they're going to do better than you necessarily. But what I would say to a newcomer is, use TWIR, just as I've described, use TWIR to help you grow and raise your industry profile. You might not win, because you have to accept that as a newcomer, there may well be others that have inspired you perhaps to set up your business, who you are competing against, who are more established and who are currently doing whatever you do better. But use TWIR to learn, to be introspective, to sit down and assess your business by answering these questions. We get lots of feedback from business owners saying how useful that process is to be introspective, you know, spending time on the business, not always in the business. And use that journey to grow. Don't think of it as win or lose. It's not win or lose. There's so much to be gained from entering. So I would encourage new business owners to do so. And then to come to the events if they become a finalist and network the hell out of it. That's a dirty word, but networking. But just come, connect, bring some, whatever the equivalent of a business card is these days. Talk to people. You know, if you're a planner and you're just setting up, you need to go to those venues who are shortlisted, who are finalists, who are at that event, and go, hey, I'm just setting up. Can I have a meeting? Can I talk to you? And all the other suppliers who are there, go up to them and say, I'm just starting up as a planner. Can I talk to you about adding you to our recommended suppliers list? Blah, blah, blah. It is so useful as a newcomer business to be involved in that positive environment and make it work for you. Just you have to drive it though.
I think going to your events and any sort of networking event, you always need to go with that goal in mind. So we got shortlisted as a finalist when we had our bridal shop. I don't even know what year it was, to be honest, but it was a National Space.
Oh, yeah, in Leicester.
Yeah, the National
Space Centre.
Yeah, it was, so that it would was have been amazing.
2018, maybe? 2018.
Probably, yeah, that sounds about the right time. I can't remember.
Yeah, that was a great place.
It seems like such a lifetime ago, but Katie, so she was my boss at that time. So she was bridal shop owner. So we took all the team with us and five like girls. And it was, she would literally pep talk us before. She'd be like, right, girls, we're not here to have fun. We are here to network. We're here to like get our name out there. And so many others were not doing that. They were getting drunk, which is fine. Like go and do whatever you want to do. But we fully would use every opportunity. And this event for us was like gold dust because we could get in front of so many people. So my advice would be like, have a few drinks, but use this event.
Yeah.
Of people your region as well, which is amazing.
Yeah. It's funny. I think sometimes the people that do find that easiest, and it's not an easy thing to do, are the people who come on their own. And I know it's not cool. You don't want to come on your own. You want to come with the other half or someone, just moral support, because it's nerve wracking, but then you're liable to just to speak to them all evening. But if you come on your own, you're much more sort of likely to go and start talking to other people and do that networking. Or as you were in a team, if you're all working for that team to divide and conquer.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
That makes so much sense. Do you know, just as a little aside about that event, and as an insight into the tricky world of organizing events, because that venue is open to the public, our event doors opened at 7. We didn't get into the venue till 5. So we had 2 hours to set up, which normally would take us most of the day. So we were primed and ready, waiting around the back. And as soon as 5 o'clock came,
like,
and
all the
school kids are gone, we are literally running in, setting everything up. And I literally was just finishing doing up my tie and the doors open and everyone starts walking in. So that was a hairy, hairy one.
I would have never have known, like, when it was so amazing. We do an event every year. We do one event, although we literally have me and Katie in our team and we put on WedCon every single year. I cannot imagine putting on that many events. How big is your team? Like, have you got a big team?
No, it's just Anna and I. Anna does all, she's our event director, so she organises all the events. I do everything else. And then we have a small, really great crew, photographer, videographer come with us to each event. So there's some continuity there. And we have a DJ / roadie, which is, shout out to Kieran from Rock My Reception. He's fantastic. You know, we've been working together with these guys for a while, so it's a well-oiled machine. And Rachel, who runs our social media. So she's remote though, so she stays at home. But yeah, it's full on, but we wouldn't have it any other way because it's so important to us to be available, particularly me. You know, Anna and I will stand on the door and welcome all the guests as they arrive. Then I get up on stage and do all the presentation. And then afterwards, I am standing there for people to come up to me and either jab their finger in my face that they haven't won, or even grab me, which has happened a few times, or ask me questions about what happens next or anything. And I think being available like that is vital. It'll always be Anna and I figureheading the business and being available when we do those events. But yeah, it's tiring. And as we get older, you know, we're both 51 now and we get a little bit more jaded, shall we say. Gone are the days of staying at the venue and partying with everyone until 3 a.m. and then going to the next event the next day. That we don't do that anymore.
So you just,
honestly, when we first started doing the events, we had as much fun as anybody else, without doubt. But as I said, you get older, you can't do that sort of thing quite so easily anymore, unfortunately. But no, we love it. And then the national event is just a big juicy cherry on the cake. And that does get out of hand. We do let our hair down a little bit more there.
You've got to do a little bit. Come on.
Yeah, we're
on
the dance floor.
All these events and then not have all the fun.
Yeah, I'm throwing some shapes. And then we go on holiday pretty much immediately afterwards. And then
out
it starts.
Out of office is on. Don't talk to me for a week.
Actually, I never put an out of office on because I can always answer an email. Sometimes it's quite nice to answer an email whilst lying around a swimming pool on holiday.
Oh yeah, best of both worlds. Yeah. I mean, it is great. That is the beauty of having as being a business owner.
Yeah, but then we launch immediately now these days. A couple of weeks after the national event, we'll launch the next awards.
The next one, yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty much 365 these days.
But it sounds like you've got a tight-knit, you know, team, you've got that repeatable system that you know works, but Like you said, I can imagine that that's taken time to
Yeah, God, we made so many silly mistakes at the beginning, of course, but that's fine as long as you learn from those mistakes and don't make them again. That making mistakes is no problem as long as they're coming from the heart and you're doing trying to do it in the right way. Making mistakes is super valuable. You know, if you talk to any
mistakes
business,
are there to kind of teach you to make you learn a better way of doing something.
If you look at anyone, read Richard Branson's autobiography. Anyone the top of their game like that, top of their game in the business world, they'll all tell you they learn more from their mistakes than from their successes. And we've done the same. We used to waste loads of money doing stuff that just didn't work, and then you realize you're doing it wrong and make a change, and then it works. So yeah, those challenges were faced by every business owner. There's nothing different for us. But yeah, we love doing it. The wedding industry is a funny place. No one ever dreams of being in the wedding industry, really. But when you find yourself in it, usually by accident, you sort of look around and go, this is actually quite a fun place to be. Don't tell everyone because everyone will want to do it. But when we come to get to our events, you don't go into the wedding industry if you don't care about what you do and how you do it and who you do it for. And that you can feel that in the room, that buzz. We are running a business event, and the excitement, the energy, the buzz, the support, the camaraderie, it's so much better than I thought it would be when we first started doing them. That community has become vital. So yeah, we love that as much as anybody else.
It is amazing. Okay, two things to kind of finish with. So firstly, I always ask people these. So tell us something that we might not know about you. It can be anything.
Oh, okay.
Probably should have prepped you for that one.
No, that's fine. I'm trying to think. So again, this is another one where you sort of feels like you're sort of, you know, blowing your own trumpet a bit. I'm mildly obsessed with an exercise form called CrossFit. I do it every day. Well, 5 days out of seven. I go to a gym that's run by a friend of mine and I do CrossFit. Google it if you need to. There'll be some of you out there who also do it. And they'll also know that it gets quite addictive. But I think actually, I've always been active outside of the office.
Yeah.
It's so important to have a focus outside of the business because it makes you better when you're back inside the business.
Agree, 100% agree.
I've done all sorts of silly things like Ironman triathlons and Marathon de Sable, running around the Sahara for weeks on end. And every time, the main reason for doing it is that the training's the bit that makes you better at every other aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. So I would, if you're not doing something like that outside, it doesn't have to be exercise, obviously it can be anything, but I find exercise really works. I can blow the cobwebs out. I'm doing myself a favor, hopefully, for my longevity, for my kids and potential grandkids somewhere down the line, hopefully. But also just being able to focus on something else makes me better at focusing on other stuff too. So CrossFit would probably be it for me. I don't, again, don't put that up on our social media of me sweating trying to lift stuff up in a gym.
Amazing. And so then finally, what is your biggest piece of advice for wedding business owners?
It's a bit cheesy, but you have to be true to yourself. I think if you don't believe in what you're doing, no one else will, and no one will book it. No one will book you. I personally, I've never been a big fan of, as a photographer, of looking at what everyone else is doing. And when I first started 20 years ago, actually, I was lucky in a way, well, very lucky that there weren't many photographers doing what I was doing at that point. Now there's lots. But I think you're only going to confuse yourself by looking too much at what other people are doing. Yes. If you're a cake maker, you know how to make cakes. If you're a florist, you know how to make bouquets and buttonholes, etc. Find your own sort of voice within that and go for it. Build yourself a lovely website. That is your shop window. Show who you are. Photo. At least, if not video, but be true to that, and don't worry too much about what everyone else is doing. If you're as a photographer, let's say it's an easy example for me. If you're a photographer and you're coming into this market, it is saturated. You're not going to be hugely different to lots of other people who are already doing it. But the way you're going to be different is by being you, because you are completely, obviously.
We spend so long trying to fit into the molds of other people and what they're doing, and that's not. You need to just be you.
Definitely. I know it's so cheesy to say it, but it is so true. But it takes confidence and it takes self-confidence.
Yeah.
But I would say stick at that because it'll come.
Yeah. You heard it here first, guys.
Wish it were that easy. It may take years, but it'll come.
Yeah. I mean, as like personally myself, always had low confidence, low self-esteem growing up, had a speech impediment. I bet people listen are sick of hearing me bang on about that, but it's so true. And I just feel like if I can grow my confidence to where I'm at today, running a global business, we support hundreds and hundreds of wedding business owners. I sit and talk to them and, you know, train them. I would have never thought that I would have ever done anything like this. So just me believing in myself and having, you know, that confidence to take little steps forward every day, I do really think anything is possible.
I think you're right. We get it just anecdotally from the awards. People, when we set it up, we thought, oh, people will enter, the winners will be able to get more work. That was the sort of basic premise.
Yeah.
But actually, the stuff we hear, the amazing feedback we hear, being a finalist has given me more self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in myself a bit more because someone else is believing in me as well. That is incredibly powerful. We have definitely had a really positive impact on thousands of small wedding businesses. Most wedding businesses are one, two-man, women shows. They're small. You need a pat on the back every now and then, and we're really proud that we can help that process. That's basic. That's central to what we do. And yeah, self-confidence. It's hard. It's hard to be like that. And if you can get a little push from your friends and family, of course, but from an industry body like TWIR, then that can only help.
Yeah, definitely. And it's that network again, isn't it? It's that surrounding yourself with those types of people. Well, Damien, thank you so much for coming on today. I've loved it. You've been so insightful. I've loved kind of hearing about your business and about you and about CrossFit. I'm going to go and Google that. I've heard of it, I feel, but I don't know.
Yeah, you've seen it somewhere. It gets a bad rep sometimes because it's always full of like muscle bound super athletes, but it really isn't. And I absolutely love it. Yeah, check it out.
Well, yeah, thank you so much. And thanks for listening, everybody. It's time. See you then. Bye.
Thanks for having me. See you guys.